Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Leading Off. Alrighty, so, Andrew Luck retired over the weekend, and we need to break down what that means for the Colts skill position players. Oh, what? This isn't a football podcast? You mean there's still fantasy baseball being played? Yes, loyal listeners, there is. So remember, stay focused these last few weeks here. My name is Brennan Tuma, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at TooMuchTuma. This is a weekend recap episode, so I have a lot of performances to highlight, as well as some injury news to go over. I'm going to start with the big Jose Ramirez news from this weekend, and then I'm going to break the show into a few different sections. The good, the bad, and the ugly. From there, I'll go over the injury news and close with what to watch out for today. But I need to start with the biggest story of the weekend, which was Jose Ramirez being placed on the injured list with a hamate bone injury. Those are such tough injuries for hitters, and it likely knocks Ramirez out for the season. It's a major bummer for fantasy owners because he was finally producing like a first-round pick. Since June 14th, Javrian produced a triple slash line of 313, 360, 643, with 16 homers and 8 steals. That is really, really good. Now, obviously, he wasn't worth the third overall pick like he was being drafted as, but don't let this letdown year affect what you think of him for 2020 too much. Later this week, I'm going to do a 2020 draft preview, and I think Ramirez will wind up settling in as a third rounder. It'll be a little risky to take him there next year, but it'll still be his age 27 season. He's in his prime, and he looked good the past couple months. Who am I kidding, though? He's going to be a very polarizing off-season topic. Alright, so let's start with the good. And speaking of doing a 2020 mock draft, I don't think it's out of the question to now consider taking Ronald Acuna with the first pick. Though personally, I'd still take Mike Trout before him. The main difference is the steals. Trout has just 10 this season, whereas on Friday, Acuna became the second youngest player in MLB history to join the 30-30 club. He enters this week with 36 homers, 30 stolen bases, and a 905 OPS. It's fair to wonder how much the Braves will want him to run in the coming years, but he's still just 21. At least for 2020, I think they'll be okay with it. And oh, by the way, the only player to reach 30-30 at a younger age than Acuna? That would be Trout himself. So let's stick with the Braves. Josh Donaldson hit 3 homers this weekend as Atlanta swept the Mets in a 3-game set. Donaldson has been phenomenal this summer and is currently crushing his spring average draft position. Entering Sunday, the veteran third baseman was batting .286 with a 1.020 OPS. Then he hit 2 homers on Sunday, giving him 32 for the season. It's been a monster bounce-back year for the former MVP. If you're in need of a 2-start pitcher this week, I would go with Sandy Alcantara of the Marlins, who gets the Reds at home and the Nationals on the road. The 23-year-old has pitched at least 7 innings in each of his last 3 starts, giving up just 5 earned runs in 21 and a third innings. He doesn't always strike out a batter per inning, but remember, we play for ratios when it comes to streamers. Another possible streamer for the week could be Framber Valdez, who tossed 6 innings of 1-run ball to go along with 8 strikeouts yesterday versus the Angels. Valdez is currently occupying the rotation spot of Aaron Sanchez, and he'll get the Blue Jays this weekend. Francisco Mejia started in left field yesterday for the second time in the last week. The Padres clearly view him as their starting catcher now, but it's encouraging to see they want to keep finding ways to get him into the lineup. Mejia, who once had a 50-game hitting streak in the minors, is going to be an exciting catching option next year, along with my man Will Smith. Last one for the good section, and we thought about renaming this the Bo Bichette podcast, since he just keeps hitting, and this weekend was no different. The 21-year-old rookie recorded his 14th multi-hit game of the season on Saturday, which was the most through a player's first 25 games since 1936. Oh, and he also recorded multiple hits yesterday, too. The Bo Bichette fan club rejoices. And now we move on to the bad. Chris Paddock struggled mightily again on Friday versus the Red Sox, and it breaks my heart. Paddock's ERA is up over a full run over the last 4 starts, now standing at .384 for the year. This might be a bit of lazy analysis, but I kind of think he is just gassed at this point. He's now thrown 117 and 2/3 innings this season, after throwing just 90 last year and not pitching at all in 2017. If you watch him, you know he's going all out all the time, and he just hasn't been the same electric guy he was back in April. I dropped him in a 12-team redraft league on Saturday. I'm expecting a shutdown soon, and he gets the Dodgers next, which is a matchup I wouldn't be able to trust him in. Trevor Bauer was also brutal this weekend, allowing 8 runs, although 7 earned, on 8 hits in just 3 innings versus the Pirates. Bauer has now pitched 26 innings with the Reds and has given up 22 earned runs, which isn't what we in the industry call good. That is in fact bad. Bauer has had a couple of gems mixed in with some brutal outings, so it's not as if he's pitched well in a game with the Reds yet. Despite the poor results lately, I'm still starting him this weekend versus the Cardinals. I don't think there's anything really applicable with this note, but Kenley Jansen nearly blew another save on Saturday against the Yankees, loading the bases before getting out of the jam for the one-run win. The problem for Jansen is that his cutter is no longer an elite pitch. From 2011 through 2017, batters slugged .315 off it. Last year, that number rose to .403. This year, it's at .465. So clearly, the adjustment here is that the 31-year-old can't rely solely on this cutter anymore, and he needs to find other ways to be effective. His ERA now stands at .362 entering Sunday Night Baseball. You're still starting him from here on out, but I just found this interesting and wanted to pass it along in terms of his value moving forward, both for the rest of 2019 and for 2020. Kyle Tucker remains in AAA, and I'm putting this in the bad category because we might have been robbed of another great season by a great young player this year. Tucker became just the 5th player ever to go 30-30 in the PCL, and he entered yesterday with a 930 OPS. So why haven't the Astros called him up? I'm honestly not fully positive, but I also feel like I can't judge that franchise. Everyone listening to this show should read the book Astro Ball about their turnaround. I highly respect that organization. But Michael Brantley is blocking Tucker in left field, and Jordan Alvarez is blocking him at designated hitter. That just leaves right field, where the Astros are weirdly committed to Josh Reddick despite his recent poor play. However, Tucker will be up with Houston once rosters expand, and if he hits well, he could steal some time from Reddick, who is batting .178 without a homer here in the second half. It might be tough to roster Tucker in fantasy for the next week or so, but I'd be ready to add him once he does get called up. And now, on to the ugly. Rhys Hoskins hit a 2-run homer in Sunday's loss to the Marlins. He badly needed that one as he entered the day slashing .116, .340, .203 in August. He's still walking, which is a good sign, but man, those numbers are ugly. Sunday's homer was his only hit of the day. If he has a couple more good games, I would start starting him again in daily leagues. As for weekly leagues, it's a tough call today. If you have any other options you're confident in, however, you might want to keep him benched. Matthew Boyd was charged for 7 earned runs yesterday versus the Twins, and he's now given up 19 over his last 4 starts. The key to Boyd's breakout season to start the year was an increased reliance on his breaking pitches. Perhaps the league is catching up to him. The good news is Boyd is still picking up strikeouts and now has 208 before the end of August. He gets these same Twins next time out. I'd be more willing to use him in a points league as opposed to a categories league. Nick Senzel wasn't in the Reds lineup either over the past 2 days, but was able to pinch hit on Sunday. The 24-year-old has been dealing with a sore right thumb, and it might be okay to move on and redraft fantasy leagues. Senzel is batting just .179 with a 26% strikeout rate in August. It's tough to envision him starting for your fantasy team if you have a playoff matchup coming up. Before we get to the injury news, I want to talk to you guys about Fantasy Draft, the only rake-free daily fantasy site in the business, has partnered with Hooters to bring you the largest guaranteed rake-free contest lineup in the history of daily fantasy sports, including the $1 million Hooters kickoff. That's right, Fantasy Draft is hosting the first rake-free contest with a guaranteed prize pool of $1 million. Listen, as other fantasy sites continue to raise rake, prize pools are being squeezed, making it harder for players like you to win. Whether you call it rake, commission, or management fee, the days of paying 10%, 12%, or even 15% or more of your entry fees to fantasy companies are over. No longer will you lose 30% of your bankroll to the house. Only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of entry fees paid out to contest winners 100% of the time. To access all Fantasy Draft exclusive rake-free contests, including the Hooters Million Dollar Kickoff, all you need to do is become a member. Sign up at fantasydraft.com today with promo code FANTASYPROS, and you'll get a 7-day free trial membership. That's fantasydraft.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Don't miss your shot at this incredible million-dollar rake-free contest, and it's a $100,000 top prize. We'll start with a couple of returns. Jeff McNeil returned from a hamstring injury this weekend and went 2-for-5 with a double. He's hitting an incredible .333 this year and should be reinserted into fantasy lineups everywhere. Robbie Ray also returned from the IL, spending 5 shutout innings and striking out 6 in Milwaukee. However, he has a tough matchup next time out against the Dodgers. Now we go to the less encouraging news. David Peralta, who has been dealing with a shoulder problem most of the summer, was once again placed on the IL. He has still been reasonably productive despite playing hurt, so I wouldn't drop him just yet if I didn't have to. Jose Alvarado was placed on the IL with elbow inflammation. His season was such a bummer, but the lefty can be dropped everywhere now. Also, Brian Anderson of the Marlins was placed on the IL with a fractured finger. He's expected to miss 6 weeks, which basically ends his 2019 season. Anthony Rizzo left Saturday's game with back tightness and didn't start Sunday. The hope is he's able to go early this week, but monitor his status. Edwin Diaz was removed from Saturday's game against the Braves with right trap tightness. The good news is he will avoid the injured list for now. The bad news is he has a 5.55 ERA this season, and I genuinely don't know how many save chances he's going to see the rest of the way. Seth Lugo needs to be owned if you need saves. Mitch Haniger had another setback and his rehab has been shut down, this time due to lower back soreness. At this point, he doesn't need to be owned since he probably won't be back until mid-September. Tyler Glasnow will be throwing live batting practice on Tuesday, which is a great sign. He could return to the Rays in the second week of September, but remember that he's going to be a reliever. Reds first baseman Joey Votto said, quote, he's going to need a few reps before being activated off the IL. He's making progress and will probably return by the end of this week, but obviously you can't start him in a weekly league. And lastly, the Blue Jays activated Clay Buchholz from the 60-day IL, which has zero fantasy impact. As for today and really this week, I'm going to be watching the Rockies 7-game homestand in Coors. We talked about this last episode, but remember, they have 1 game against the Braves, 2 against the Red Sox, and 4 against the Pirates. Make sure to get as many players from these teams, especially the Rockies, into your lineups if you can. And that'll do it for your Monday edition of Leading Off. I think a lot of us are starting a fantasy playoff matchup this week, and if that's the case, then good luck. Remember, though, that a lot of times playoffs are just a crapshoot, especially if it's only 1 week long. However you do this next month shouldn't define your season if you did well all summer long. Process over results, always. Have a great one, everybody. Talk in a couple of days.